We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. It is a Tuesday, and we are blessed to be children of the Most High God. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM, WMIE, right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of spending this half hour with you. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful to have this opportunity to speak the Word of God into your life and into my life. You know, sometimes I'm in here and I get excited myself. I preach my own self happy. So thank you for tuning in and being such an encouragement. For those of you who've come and visited our services and come to our events, we're very thankful to have had the opportunity to meet you a couple of weeks ago at our kids rally. A lady said, I saw you walking down the street. And so I want you to know, I don't always drive every place. I do try and get my exercise and as much as I can. I am looking for other ways to make that a reality. I need a little more exercise, but, thankful for what I do get. So if you see me, say hey as you're driving around. But if you haven't had an opportunity to come and visit one of our services, we want you to check us out. You can go to merrittassembly.com. It'll tell you about our service times, all of our activities. You can like us on Facebook. You can find, those are the two primary means of keeping up to date with all of the various activities that are going on. So I want to remind you about the concert with Stan Schumann from Midnight Cry that'll be taking place at Island Community Church April the 2nd, this coming Sunday, 5 p.m. Encourage you to be there. If you'd like more information on that, you can call Island Community Church, 321-453-4656. I was in a conversation with someone not long ago, and they said they just moved to the area, and they were wondering, are all the churches around here just all about themselves? Are they a bunch of Lone Rangers? And I said, well, no, there are some, but there are a lot of us that we do as much as we can together and help to support one another. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of this music ministry Sunday night, that'll be at Island Community Church on North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, Florida, and you can find out more information or get directions from the church at this phone number, 321-453-4656. So today we are going to resume our study on the Spirit of the Lord. God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's what we have been talking about. What does life look like when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you? And so in Acts chapter 13, there are several passages in the 13th chapter of Acts that we want to talk about today. Naturally, because the book of Acts, if you go back and you look at your Bible, we shorten it to just call it the book of Acts. My Bible calls it the Acts of the Apostles. Others have suggested the best title for the book would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And so these were men who the Holy Spirit was operating through. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon them. And so let's look at Acts chapter 13. We're going to probably, it's a long chapter, so we'll look at some of these verses, but let's begin reading the first 10 verses right now, first 11 verses. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted The Holy, or as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease from perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." Let's read one more verse. "And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." This Acts chapter 13 begins the missionary journeys of Paul. Paul's first journey is with Barnabas, who was very instrumental in him getting into the ministry. Barnabas had gone to Antioch, saw that they needed help, and he went looking for Saul, who was now called Paul. And so they were there serving the church, and they were helping them. The church was growing. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes into one of their services and begins to speak and says, "Look, I have an assignment for Paul and Barnabas. They have responsibilities that I have assigned to them, and I want them to begin to pursue that." And so they were launched out in verse number 4 by the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you today, if you and I were sitting down and we were having a glass of water, if we were drinking, you know, a soda, or you might be drinking coffee. I don't do coffee that much. But if we were just sitting down and we were having a talk, would you be able to identify what the Holy Spirit has assigned to you as your spiritual responsibilities? Now, that may be a new challenge to some, that a lot of times we are have a consumerism mindset about what can this do for me. But I would much rather find out, what do you understand to be your spiritual responsibilities? Can I tell you what those responsibilities are not limited to? Those responsibilities are not just limited to occupying a seat in your church. Those responsibilities aren't limited to just being a person of prayer. Those responsibilities aren't to just be a student of the Word. There is an assigned purpose that God has made for you, because He assigned that purpose before the foundation of the world, before you were ever born. He knew what He wanted you to do. And so I encourage you today, if you do not know what your responsibilities are, that then I encourage you to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to rest upon you and begin to reveal to you what those responsibilities are, and then fulfill those responsibilities. I have this thing called response and responsibility. Now, we think of responsibility as ownership, but our response to that responsibility is very important. I mean, that's a sermon I'm working on. I don't know exactly when that's going to come about. My daughter likes a lot of old novels and things like that, and Sense and Sensibilities and Pride and Prejudice, and so I'm kind of fixated right now on this concept, response and responsibility. What is our response to the responsibility that God has assigned to us? And I pray that responsibility is, I pray that it's not, "Well, I'm just not going to do anything with it." I'm going to let somebody else do it. I pray that it's not, I'm going to kick it down the road where I'm not going to pay any attention to it whatsoever. I pray that the response to the responsibility that the Holy Spirit has assigned to you is one of obedience and say, yes, you know what? Because there were countless millions of people who were impacted because Paul and Barnabas launched out and said yes to this responsibility. And when they go out, they encounter this guy by the name of Sergius Paulus, who's identified as an intelligent man. I think that that is something that every family member would like to have declared over them. That whether they're a man or whether they're a woman, that they are classified as intelligent. That there's an understanding that the people that we have been gifted with in our lives are not stupid. There are people who assume that you are stupid. I would much rather operate from assuming that you're intelligent until a person proves otherwise. I like to operate from the mindset that I can trust you until you demonstrate otherwise. That's my predisposition. That is the inclination of my heart to believe that people are maturing as they get older, not just getting older, that they are coming to understanding, greater understanding of the Word of God, that they are becoming smarter and not less intelligent. Those are some natural assumptions that I like to make. Unfortunately, I have some encounters from time to time where people demonstrate that my inclinations might need to be adjusted slightly. So as they're encountering this man named Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man, there was a sorcerer there, a false prophet, whose purpose was to turn this man away from the faith. And so you need to be on the lookout for people who might be trying to undermine the ministry of God. Okay? And the good news about this is just the same as I've told you before, that every time there was a person that had some demonic activity in their life during the ministry of Jesus, whenever they encountered Jesus, the demon went away defeated and Jesus went away victorious. And so this man, he's trying to undermine the faith of Sergius Paulus. And it says in verse number 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And so Paul, because the Spirit of the Lord God was upon him, recognized what this man was full of. He was full of deceit, full of fraud. He was a son of the devil. He was an enemy of righteousness, and he perverted the ways of God. That's the discernment that Paul had. Paul was given a focus and a revelation as to the spiritual reality that was going on inside that man's heart and inside his life. And so if you would like your spiritual focus, if you'd like God to be revealing things to you, who better to explain the things of God than the Spirit of God? It says that the Word of God is spirit and it is spiritually discerned. So if we're going to have the eyes of our understanding opened, as the scripture says, we need the Spirit of God upon us because we need him to explain things to us. In Acts chapter 13, after all sorts of glorious things are taking place, the chapter ends with this statement in verse number 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit should be a jubilant event, not a remorseful event. And so I'm constantly telling people, you know, we don't need more miserable Christians in the world. We need more jubilant Christians. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you and I, we need to know that when the Holy Spirit comes, it is not going to undermine our emotional health. It is going to accentuate it. It is going to make it increase. Your joy level is going to go up. I love leading people to Jesus, but you know what I love more than leading people to Jesus? Helping other people to discover that they can lead people to Jesus. That really is a great joy. I mean, I'll never forget the first time that I happened to be there when one of my kids led a person to Jesus, and it was like, praise God. And I've been there when all three of my kids have been encouragements to other people and helped them and counseled them and prayed with them through problems. And what a great joy when I see people in our congregation who have come and given their heart. They began a journey of faith, and now they are bringing others along with them on that journey of faith. It is with great joy. And so look around. I encourage people to do this. Look around and see how many facial expressions you see when you're driving down the road. And I will make this speculation. That is, I believe that you will see a lot more agitated people than you will find joyful people. I think you will find a lot more people who are expressing no emotion whatsoever than you will find jubilant people. I happened to be in the car with my daughter. I don't remember which one of us was driving. And she said, "Oh, I like to do this to people as I'm driving down the road too." And she had this big old smile, and she was doing a little finger dance there and singing to a song on the radio. And she said, "Oh, she was making funny faces at a kid I was driving. She was making funny faces at a child that was in another car, and they were playing peekaboo while we sat at the stoplight." And she said, "Oh, I do this with adults too. It's great fun." And so I find people fascinating. I do. One of the things that I enjoyed doing when I was working in retail was just observing people, because they are a source of great entertainment. I'm not talking about, you know, making fun of people. I just find it very intriguing how people live. And so you and I, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and the joy of the Lord rises in us, then it ought to be noticeable to those around us. Acts chapter 15, we'll move on to our next point. Acts chapter 15. And verse number 6, it says, "Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, 'Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.'" This says here that the Holy Spirit was poured upon the house of Cornelius to let the Gentiles know that God was acknowledging them. He knew them. He knew who they were. He wasn't ignoring them. And today I want to let you know that God knows everything that you are dealing with, everything that you are facing. He knows all about it. And he wants the Spirit of the Lord God to come upon you, because he wants to purify your hearts by faith, and he wants you to know that there is no distinctions in the body of Christ. There's not one part that's better than another part. There's just the redeemed. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I went through a season where God had us on the shelf, if you will. We were not inactive. We were serving in a church. My wife and I were serving in a church, but we were not active in full-time ministry. We weren't active in part-time ministry. We were doing nursing home ministry. We were doing whatever needed to be done. We were serving whatever door opened up. But as far as pursuing this ministry call that we had upon our lives, every door that we knocked on was shut. And in all honesty, when you go through that, you can begin to feel as if you've been forgotten. And what I learned coming out of that process was not that God had forgotten, but that God was healing. There, we had come through a very painful episode prior to this, and rather than throwing us right back into the fire, God had us going through a season where we were being healed so that we would be able to minister the way that God wanted us to minister. God knows you. He knows where you are. And I pray that you will understand the blessing that comes from waiting upon God to heal you and prepare you for the specific time, for the specific purpose that He has for you. You know, when I first began that journey, I was very insecure, I guess you could say. I mean, when you'd come through an episode like we had, you don't want to go through that again. But I ended up learning how to deal with rejection because I got put into a position of being in sales, and every day I would make my best presentation over and over again, and I was met with rejection more times than I was met with success. Now, a lot of times those rejections were just temporary. They wanted to go around and look and see if they could find something better, and then they would come back again. But in reality, you know, there were a lot of people who just moved on, and they found other shoes, other places, you know, I didn't get the sale. And I discovered that God was able to deal with that rejection. And just about the time that I was frustrated and began to think that God had forgotten us and maybe, you know, we weren't going to end up in full-time ministry, then all of a sudden God, by His Holy Spirit, moved in such a manner that said, "I haven't forgotten you at all. I know right where you are, and I know right where I'm getting ready to put you. And, you know, now we look in the rearview mirror and we saw, if you will allow me this analogy, we can now see the moves of the dance that God used to bring us to exactly where He wanted us. Now, will God lead you the same way? I highly doubt that it will be exactly the same. Too many times we are looking for grace to be cookie cutter, and I believe that grace is greater than all of our sin, no matter what it looked like. I know people today who've been forgiven by God of murder and are fully active in the ministry, and they are helping people to live victorious lives. I know people whose marriages were all but blown apart. I mean, everything that could be done to blow up a marriage was done. And today they are vibrantly serving the body of Christ and keeping marriages together. I know people who've gone through just about anything you can imagine, and God has brought them through. God knows where you are at, and He will bring you through. In Acts chapter 16, let's get one more in here today if we can. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So when the Spirit of the Lord is operating in your life, He will guide your steps. Now, sometimes that guidance is going to look different than what we think. A lot of times we think of guidance as being God opening a door for us. And He did that through this dream in Macedonia. He did that. He eventually guided them. But before He opened that door, He was still the God who was guiding them by the Holy Spirit, because He closed two other doors. You see, guidance comes from closed doors and open doors. And I encourage you today that, now, in all honesty, this is not a Bob Arthur's original. The first place that I heard this was from our Sunday school teachers, who said this: when you are mature in Christ, you will be just as excited about God's no as you are about God's yes, because you will understand that He is ordering your steps and directing your path in just such a way that it's going to bring glory to Him. So I had a bike breakdown here not too long ago, and I told my wife, and now, mind you, I keep a pretty tight schedule, and so this bike breakdown wasn't convenient. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I just decided that day that I wasn't going to be frustrated by that inconvenience. I was going to just assume that God was ordering my steps and directing my path. Now, I want you to know that's not the way I've always operated, but that's how I've chosen to operate now. See, I've seen the results of what can happen if I hadn't been delayed by God. If God hadn't closed the door, if I'd gone through with what I thought I was going to go through, it could have had disastrous results. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord God, beat upon you. He will guide you. Sometimes He'll guide you opening a door. Sometimes He will guide you closing a door. But remember, He's always an expert guide. Father, I just pray today that the Spirit of the Lord would remind everyone that You know us and You know what's best for us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."